This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The new movie Genghis Blues is about the friendship between an African-American blues singer and the most famous throat singer from the Republic of Tuvur, Kangur El Ondar. On this archive edition, we have an interview with Ondar. Exactly what is throat singing? Here's Ondar. Throat singing is an ancient style still practiced in Tuva, a small republic between Siberia and Mongolia's Gobi Desert. Ondar was born in Tuva in 1962. He won a UN-sponsored International Festival of Throat Singing and has been honored by his nation with the title People's Throat Singer of Tuva. He's also performed around the world and collaborated with Rai Cooter, The Chieftains, and Mickey Hart. His recent CD, Back Tuva Future, features him backed by country musicians, including guest appearances by Willie Nelson and Randy Scruggs. Last March, Ondar demonstrated his singing for us. He doesn't speak English, so we were also joined by Ralph Layton, who co-produced Ondar's CD and has toured with him. Layton first went to Tuva nearly 10 years ago and is the author of the book Tuva or Bust. You know, the sound of Tuvan throat singing is a little bit like the sound of those Tibetan monks chanting, that really deep sound. And I'm wondering, is Tuvan throat singing considered a religious or a secular music?
In Tuva, it's mainly secular, and the Tibetan style chanting that you're familiar with is but one of several styles of Tuvan throat singing. Tuvans throat sing many different ways in many different circumstances. They do have a certain religious aspect in that they sing to nature. They're singing about nature, but then they'll quickly make a metaphorical allusion to the beauty of and longing for a sweetheart. So the Tuvans can put it into many contexts, not just religious.
There's different kinds of Tuvan throat singing, and I was wondering if we could ask Ondar to perform, you know, to kind of demonstrate those styles for us. And in part because I think it's so hard for us Westerners to imagine making those sounds. They're so different from the kind of singing that Westerners do. So a demonstration would be great. Can we start with a style called, I think I'm pronouncing it right, Hermé?
Sure. You can think of them as high, medium, and low, if you want. I mean, they're just arbitrary words, really. The Hermé style is actually a three-note style. You're starting right at the top here. And what you can listen for in this is a drone note that's going to be a constant note. And then you'll hear a melody much higher that is moving around up in the registers where one normally whistles, but it's really a harmonic. And then the third note, if you really concentrate, you can hear a rhythmic syncopation suggesting riding on horseback. And that's an octave above the low note. So you're going to get three notes at once in the Hermé style.
Wow. Ondar, thank you very much for that performance. Ralph, can you explain at all how this is done technically?
I can try, but I would like to point out that in Tuva, the culture encourages this. Culture encourages people to sing in this way of producing several notes at the same time. So children are able to pick it up. You know, children over here could pick it up if the culture around them encouraged it. I observed this in my own son when the tuba and throat singers would come through town. In a matter of a couple of weeks, you know, a 2-3-year-old kid is starting to make overtones with no formal instruction. It's just that he's around it. So if you ask Ondar how he does it, he says, I just do it. But when I try to learn it, then I have to think about what I'm doing. And in this case,
you just start sounding a little bit like the Wolfman Jack.
That's the first thing you have to do, is tighten your throat. And then for this particular Hume style, you make a kind of a ooh sound. That's about as far as I've gotten in about 5 years. It's a lot of fun. And in fact, a lot of fun is also in developing your hearing. So you can listen to the CD of throat singing over and over, and you'll hear more and more as you study it.
More and more of those overtones?
That's right.
Yeah, well, let's get to another style of tuba and throat singing. And this is called sugut?
Sure. Sugut is the highest style, and this one is on the CD, Two Lands, One Tribe. It's the introduction to a song that Ondar sings with the American Indian singer-songwriter Bill Miller. And this one has special significance to me because last fall in the newspapers, there was a report from a Russian geneticist who was going around Siberia looking for similarities between Siberian peoples and American Indian tribes. And the highest correlation, 70%, was found in Western Tuva, where Ondar comes from. So,
75%.
Okay, 75%. See, Ondar speaks more English than he will admit to. So, in Ondar's view, the American Indians are a lost tribe of Tuvans. And this is the style and the song that Ondar sang to Bill Miller.
That's wonderful. Wow. I can't help but wonder what that does to the throat, like how much of the singing is actually in the throat. Like in Western singing, singers are encouraged to get the voice out of the throat and higher into the head so it just resonates on the bones and doesn't hurt the throat. Does this hurt the throat, this kind of singing?
Not so much, but I should say that Ondar's face turned completely red. It was like he was choking himself a little bit voluntarily. They restrict the air passage through the throat. It's like holding your breath and just letting out the tiniest bit of air. And he does get headaches sometimes, but this may be related to his general high blood pressure. There's a lot of mystery to this. There's a folklore that in Tuva throat singers die early, but this hasn't been backed up scientifically. It is very, very strenuous, that's for sure. His neck muscles are extremely strong, and you see this blood vessel on the side of his neck practically popping out when he does this, because the key is you've got to tighten up your throat to make a narrow, narrow little slit through which the tone comes out, and then your mouth makes the overtones, a little bit like when you're playing a juice harp. That's a somewhat similar way of managing overtones.
Let's get to another style of Tuvan throat singing called, I believe, Kargura?
Yes, Kargura is the low style or the deep style. And this is the style, by the way, that the American bluesman Paul Earthquake Pena learned, taught him himself to do this more than 10 years ago. And then when Ondar came through San Francisco, the two met up. Ondar invited Pena over to Tuva, and Pena came back to Tuva, bringing the Tuvan's own culture to them, and they were just swept off their feet with him. And the documentary film about that is called Genghis Blues. And that revolves around this friendship between Ondar and Pena and the Kargara style that you're going to hear Ondar do. He does it a little differently than Pena. Each person sounds different. But here's the Kargara.
Oh, yeah. Borbang, borbang, mother glara. I was damn lying dog.
Thank you, Ondar. Thank you very much. Is there any improvisation in the singing that Ondar's doing, or are these songs that are passed down?
They are songs that are passed down, but what will happen is there's a lyrical line where he'll say, you know, I don't know if it'll come out or not, but I'll just give it my best shot, and then he takes off, and then the rest of the line where the harmonics come in, that's all improvised. He says when he sings that, he takes off and flies.
And is there, I know like there's the group Hunhurtu, which is a group of Tuvan throat singers. Is there like harmony groups in Tuva, since you harmonize with yourself basically because you get so many overtones when you're singing? What are the harmonies like when singing in a group?
Well, actually, groups are a recent phenomenon. That's not the traditional way to sing the Tuvan overtone way because, as you pointed out, you don't need to do this. In fact, one wag quipped, if Gladys Knight could do this, she wouldn't need no pips. The traditional way of Tuvan throat singing is for a lonely cowboy on his horse out in the steppe looking at his herds, to sing some songs, and if he wants harmony, he's got to produce them himself. But of course, if you have three or four singers, you can have a 12-part chorus.
My guests are Tuvan throat singer Ondar and Ralph Layton, associate producer of Ondar's CD, Back Tuva Future. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Tuvan throat singer Ondar and Ralph Layton, associate producer of Ondar's new CD, Back Tuva Future. We're talking about the history of Tuvan throat singers. You mentioned that these are herders. What are they herding? Sheep?
A lot of different animals. Sheep is the core, but then they herd goats, but then also cattle and yak, reindeer, and camel. All in a relatively small area about the size of North Dakota. They have a lot of different climate zones and a lot of different animals that they herd. And they've been doing this for thousands of years. They have a herding tradition that goes back into prehistory. So these are perhaps the world's oldest cowboys.
And the herders are on horses, and that, I guess, explains that kind of clip-clop rhythm in some of the songs.
That's right. In fact, Ondar has a wonderful medley that he sings that alludes to that and has different paces of the horse. And sometimes they name their throat singing styles after what kind of pace the horse is going. Rather than a technical aspect of the singing, they describe what they're singing about or the picture that's in their mind.
Could he perhaps do part of that medley?
Sure. Kongorol, shubtu melodia bichi bolurbe.
Why them hello?
Great. Ondar, thank you so much. And Ondar is a throat singer from Tuva, and he has a new CD, which is called Back Tuva Future. And Ondar doesn't speak English, which is why I'm not including him in the actual interview part of our program today. But with him is Ralph Layton, a longtime friend and associate, who's the associate producer of the new CD and the author of a book called Tuva or Bust about his own adventures getting to Tuva. When Ondar started singing, Tuva was part of the Soviet Union, and my understanding is that the Soviet Union discouraged Tuvan throat singing. I don't know if it was actually banned or just discouraged. What was the status of throat singing under the Soviets?
It was kind of an underground activity that you did way up in the hills, far away from the centers of Soviet colonization in the towns of Kyzyl, for example, and Turan. It was something where you had to learn it from two generations before you, the grandfather generation, because, for example, Ondar's father was discouraged from learning his own culture. He went to school and learned Russian, didn't speak Tuvan as well. They, in fact, even broke and burned Tuvan folk instruments. This was how serious it was. People had to hide these instruments in the mountains. So it was from this older generation that Ondar and his generation learned. And it's perhaps only because Tuva joined the Soviet Union so late, relatively, in 1944. They were the last territory outside of the Kuril Islands, north of Japan, to be incorporated in the Soviet Union. So there were still people alive who learned throat singing when Tuva was an independent country before 1944. So this, in a way, saved the culture. And now Ondar is teaching school in Kyzyl. He teaches students the musical traditions of Tuva. He's got a wonderful group of kids, which would make the Vienna choir boys jealous. And now that the Soviet Union has fallen, the Tuvan culture can be practiced openly, and Ondar is proud to bring it to America, and he's taken on all comers. It's a strong enough tradition that you can even add lots of American country music to it, and it won't overwhelm the Tuvan throat singing.
Now, Ondar was actually drafted into the Soviet Navy in 1983, and ended up leaving after he broke his neck while loading 100-pound bags of sugar. Is that right?
Yes, it wasn't exactly that he broke his neck. It was more that, imagine someone from the center of Asia, about as far away from any ocean as you can get, being assigned to naval duty. But he was loading heavy sacks of grain, and a Russian seaman sort of threw it down on him. So that's what ended up breaking his neck.
Oh.
It was a little...
Was that intentional?
So-called accident that seemed pretty intentional. There's a lot of prejudice towards the native peoples in Siberia by the Russians.
It sounds like Tuvan throat singing puts so much strain on the muscles of the throat and the neck. It's amazing to me that after breaking his neck, Ondar was able to continue the tradition of throat singing.
Yes, that's true. And he does have a lot of neck problems, and we're trying to look into that, whether acupuncture is the best way. He loves massages, and it is still a problem for him. So he throat sings in spite of the setbacks that he has suffered, just because the tradition is so compelling to him.
Ondar is featured in the new documentary Genghis Blues, which has opened theatrically in several cities and will open in more over the next few weeks. He's featured on the companion CD Genghis Blues and has his own CD called Back Tuva Future. Ralph Layton is the author of Tuva or Bust. Our interview was recorded last March. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.